As you may recall from, I guess it's been 3 weeks ago since we were last looking at this, but we had started a series on the eldership, or studying about elders in God's church. And we initiated this study back in August, so I guess it started about a month ago. We looked at what God's will is for His church and the fact that it's His goal for every congregation to have qualified men serving as elders in the church. We also saw that according to what the New Testament teaches, this requires a plurality of men who meet all the qualifications in order for that to be according to the will of God. But that is what God's will is. So that needs to be the goal of every congregation, including this one. And so we initiated this study trying to understand this better, to have our minds geared in that direction. Hopefully that we as individuals and collectively will be moving in that direction towards fulfilling God's will. And so we also then looked at the authority that elders possess in the church. We spent a lesson studying about that. They do have real authority. They don't have the authority to change or to determine what is right and wrong in terms of what is right and wrong and in God's sight. That's been determined by God in His Word. Nobody has the authority to change that. But they do possess real authority, that it is their job to encourage the members of the body to follow that which God has established as right, and as opposed to that which is wrong. And also they possess real authority in matters of judgment, and that authority has to be submitted to and obeyed by the congregation. And so there's going to be those areas of judgment where they exercise their authority, matters of judgment. And that is also then going to create plenty of opportunities for people to have a different opinion about things. But the elders are the ones that have that say-so in those matters. And that needs to be respected and followed. And we're going to move on from there, having studied about the goal that God has for the churches to have elders, and looking at their authority, now to looking at what their responsibilities are. And that's what we want to spend our time on this evening. Following this in future lessons, we want to start delving into the qualifications of elders in detail. Eventually, we want to have a lesson looking at the office of deacons and what that is and the qualifications for that. Because that is a separate thing, but yet it is also another office that God has ordained for His church. Not a position of authority, but one of service under the authority of the elders. But eventually, Lord willing, we'll get to that. But for tonight, let's look at the responsibilities that elders have in the Lord's church. And in all those areas of judgment that we looked at before, of course, that's all going to fall under their domain. Every detail of what is required in conducting the affairs of the congregation, though, is going to relate to some of the overall objectives or goals that they are to have according to what God's will is for each Christian, each member of the body, each part of each one that's in the flock, that they're going to have responsibility for. But all those all the detailed jobs they're going to have are going to fit in keeping with what the overall objective and goal is that God has given for all of us. Well, let's look at some of these major goals, and they're all going to relate to the overall goal of where we're supposed to be heading as running our race and as Christians. But Romans chapter 14 and verse 19 tells us all something that is a goal that we need to be striving for, not just elders in the church, but this is something that we all need to pay attention to. He says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Now that's good for us to practice, every one of us, all the time. We want to be doing what is going to make peace with others, and do that which is going to edify others. Part of our job, and this is, if we look at scriptures like in 1 Corinthians 14:26, where he particularly or specifically talks about our assemblies, when we come together like we are right now, that is one of the major objectives. To worship God, yes, But one of our major objectives, according to Scripture, is for us to come together to edify one another. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, in that context of what we're doing when we're together, says, let all things be done unto edifying. Well, that fits right in with what we're reading here in Romans 14, 19, that we need to do those things wherewith one may edify another. We need to be thinking about that. Or as he puts it in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, we need to consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. Again, he mentions that in the context of our assemblies, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But rather than that, we need to be considering one another to provoke each other to love and to good works. So we've got to work towards building each other up. See, we have a goal that we're striving for, that we're trying to grow in Christ towards each one of us, but we don't want to just be growing by ourselves, do we? We want to grow ourselves and then help all the rest of us to be growing along with us. And if we're all doing that, that would be a marvelous thing, because then we can all achieve that goal together, which is exactly what God wants. So he tells us in general, all of us, to do things that will edify one another. This is going to involve the way we speak. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, where he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So again, that's a major objective with the words that we speak to each other. We shouldn't be trying to tear each other down. Our purpose and the words that we choose to speak to one another should be to cause good to occur, ultimately to build each other up. Now, is that going to require times for us to correct, to rebuke, reprove? Yes, but it needs to be done in the right way with this goal in mind, to build up, to accomplish good. So that's something we need to be doing with our words and all of our deeds. And this is certainly a major part of the job that God has given to elders in the church. We're in Ephesians 5. Let's go back one chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll look at verses 11 through 16. Actually, we should probably back up even to verse 7, where he says that unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then, in fact, he quotes from the Psalms a prophecy of Christ and how when he ascended to heaven was going to then give gifts to men. He would give certain gifts to, as he says in verse 7, to every one of us, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then he goes on to give some examples in verse 11. Now, we know that all of us have been blessed in many ways. The Lord has given us all particular blessings and gifts. There are certain abilities that we have. There are certain positions we may occupy. There may be certain opportunities that he gives to each one of us. But we all have certain things we've been given by the Lord that will help us to accomplish the goal that he has for his church. Now, as we look at some of the details of this in verse 11, some examples, and these aren't the only examples, but these are some of the examples of those gifts that he was talking about in verses 7 through 10. But he says he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So just looking at that verse, does he mention elders in the church there in verse 11? Well, he doesn't use, and you may recall when we initiated this study, we looked at the major words that are used in the New Testament for the office of elders, and the word elder in Greek is the word presbyteros, which means an older man. So elder is a very accurate and exact translation of that. But he also uses the term bishop, describing their work. Episkopos is the Greek word, but it means an overseer. And that word is also used, and we can see it used interchangeably with the word elder, referring to the same office. We also see the office of elders in their work described as being shepherds and feeding the flock. And Brother Jan just led us in that song a moment ago to gear our minds for this study. But the elders in the church are to feed the flock. We're going to go into much more detail on that in a few minutes, Lord willing. But we see he mentions pastors there in verse 11. And it's actually the only time he uses that word in that way in the New Testament. But from what he teaches everywhere else in the New Testament, there's only one position in the church that has been given the job of feeding the flock, of being the shepherds, the overseers of the flock. And that's what a pastor is. It means a shepherd. Well, the shepherds, the ones who do the job of shepherding, are the elders. So clearly that's what he's talking about here. Well, he mentions some of the offices that have existed in the Lord's church, apostles and prophets. Now, do we have apostles and prophets today in the sense of being here among us, living and breathing among us? No. Those were some offices that existed for a time that was limited, for a certain purpose. And actually, that purpose continues to be fulfilled from the original apostles and prophets through the words that and the deeds that we have recorded of them. And it still is used by God to build us all up. So that is something that God is still using. But does he need for there to be apostles on the earth today? No, obviously not. He's not. He doesn't have that, and there's a reason. And the same with prophets. He doesn't need to continue to inspire us directly with God's word. Well, we have the complete revelation of His will right here. He doesn't need to inspire me directly to say what is already written and said right here. My job, all of our jobs, is to speak as the oracles of God. We can take this word that's already been revealed. That's what we're supposed to be teaching and preaching and encouraging each other with. So He doesn't need to inspire us directly today, but we have the words and the examples of the prophets and the apostles. Well, those were some of the gifts He gave him. He chose some of those men and gave them that position to occupy and gave them that work to do in His church. And He mentions evangelists, and there is... He's describing those who carry the gospel, and that's the root of that word of evangelist. It's one who is teaching the gospel. Well, there were many who were going forth and teaching the gospel of Christ in that time. Every Christian should have a part in that. And doesn't he tell us all in 1 Peter 3:15 to be ready always to give an answer to those who have asked us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear? That's a part of all of our jobs. Well, this is not something, that one is not an office that has passed away. We have and should have evangelists among us now. We should all be doing that to some extent. But we know that there's some who do that as a vocation. They're involved in that on a full-time basis, that their work is to go out and spread the gospel. We need to be doing a part of that, but we also need to be helping those who are going in places that we can't reach. Pastors, elders in the church, and teachers. Those are positions in the church, and it's a gift from Christ for somebody to be able to occupy that position in the church. We've been given a privilege by the Lord if we have the opportunity to teach the children of God, our fellow Christians in His church, whether it's the littlest ones or the oldest ones in the church. That is a great blessing to be able to do that. It requires the ability to teach. It requires a zeal to do it. It requires a lot of work to do that. But it's a good work to do. And anybody that has been given that opportunity has been given a gift by Christ in the context of what he's talking about here. Now, these are just some examples, and we could go on and look at other passages of Scripture to look at other examples of gifts or blessings the Lord has given us as part of His church. We get down to verse 16 in this passage. We're going to see that he is going to apply it to every one of us. As he said in verse 7, we've all been given certain gifts. You know, we may not occupy any of the positions he's talking about there, but we've all been given certain gifts by Christ that we're to use in his service as members of his church. And that's what he's going to go talk about now in verse 12 and 13. What is the purpose, or how are we to use the gifts that the Lord has given us? And in the context of our study about the elders in the church, why has God put elders in His church? What does He say? He's given these, He says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Literally, that's the completing of the saints, the holy ones. Well, we are to be the holy ones, all Christians. We need to be complete. We don't need to be partial. We don't need to be incomplete in terms of how much of the love of God is formed in us, how much of the heart of Christ that we have. We need to have all of what the New Testament teaches us concerning the divine nature, the fullness of God, and we need to have all those things in us. Whatever the Lord is, we need to be like Him. And He is meek, He is humble, He is kind. He is compassionate. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. He forbears, forgives. And we could go on and on looking at all those things. Now, which of those things should we be lacking in? And if we're lacking in those things, we're not complete. Now, he says he's given these things for the perfecting of the saints. Now, does he directly relate that to the job of elders as shepherds over the flock? There is the responsibility to perfect the saints. And as he goes on to say in verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's that word edifying. So they are to build each member up to the point where they will be complete. And he's going to describe exactly what that is in verse 13. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and that is again, unto a complete man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now talk about a big responsibility. That's what elders, their job is to do. Their job is to serve as shepherds over the flock, to bring each sheep, each member of the congregation, each of the members of the body, to build them up till they grow to reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, complete. That is quite a responsibility, because we all have been given that goal to reach ourselves. But to be given the responsibility over the rest of the souls of the flock to bring them along and to get them to reach that same goal, that is the ultimate responsibility that they've been given. And is really what everything that we've been given by Christ, as he's talking about there, that we are using in his service, what it's supposed to be accomplishing. We're all supposed to be doing that with each other, but the elders have a particular job to do in that regard. In verse 14, it's not his goal that we remain spiritual babies. And that's the word there that's translated children in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, literally babies, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If there's a congregation that's full of spiritual babies that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, are the elders doing their job there? That's putting it bluntly. But their job is to make sure that that's not the case, to help these babies to grow up in him. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now notice verse 16, we all have a part of this responsibility. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every part, every member, every joint, that's all of us. We have our job to do in this work of building the body up in love, in God's love, until we're all complete in the measure, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And elders have that job too. And that's at the heart of their work. Everything that they're going to do as far as specific jobs, decisions they make, is going to relate to that overall purpose. How is that going to be building up that particular member? How is that going to help that particular sheep and all the sheep together to be more like Christ? That has to be the guiding principle for all of their decisions, because that's the purpose that God has given to them right here in this passage. And if you think about it, that's the same kind of thinking we need to have with everything that we do as part of the church, everything that we do in our families, with the decisions we make with our children as parents, in whatever position of authority we have. That's what our overall goal is, and we need to be thinking along the same lines. How is that going to help me to grow? And how is that going to help my family or help these others in the church to grow to be more like Christ? And if we think like that and choose our words and our actions to bring that about, then we're going to be growing like we should and helping others to do the same. And that's what elders need to be doing particularly. Well, that's going to involve feeding the flock. To build them up is going to require giving the members of the flock, those sheep, the right food. This was something that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, if the Lord, and he did, prophesied of a position, an office in his church that was going to exist hundreds of years, and in this case in Jeremiah, it's about 600 years before that office existed, if the Lord is saying 600 years from now, I'm going to bring this about, I mean, is this something that's small to God? Or is this something important to him? Well, this is what he was doing here in Jeremiah chapter 3. As he was foretelling the coming of the New Testament age, and he mentioned some of the things that were common practices, part of their worship, observances that they participated in as Jews under the Old Covenant, and how those things were eventually going to be done away, they would be forgotten about. And he talks about that in this particular passage here in Jeremiah chapter 3. And he's going to talk about that in verse 16. But if we look at 15 and 16 together, or 15 through 17, we'll see that this is a very beautiful prophecy of the New Testament age. He says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now, there are lots of passages in the Old Testament where he centers on the shepherds they had back then and the failure that they were having. As they were feeding poison to the flock, and they were leading them away from God instead of building them up. And if we looked at the context of Jeremiah chapter 3, he talks about that in this chapter and how they had gone away from him. But he says, now there's going to come a day when I'm going to give you shepherds that aren't going to be like the ones you've got now. That's his point. I'm going to give you shepherds that are going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. And he's talking about the New Testament time. In verse 16 says, "And it will come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days." So this would be the days when he gives those shepherds, saith the Lord, "they will say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither will it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall it be done, that be done anymore. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart." Now, if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, who is that spiritual Jerusalem today? It's the Lord's church. That's what he's talking about, what he was prophesying up there. Now, how many of you have visited the Ark of the Covenant? What does it look like? See, we don't speak of that anymore. I mean, we read about it when we read the Old Testament, but we don't do those things. We don't go to the temple before the Ark of the Covenant. We don't see that being carried about on its staves. We don't even know exactly what it looked like. We have a description in the Old Testament, but we can't. I mean, we have a pretty general idea about it, but we don't know precisely what that looked like. We've never seen it. We don't do that. These particular practices of the Old Testament time, we don't do those things now. And he's talking about that time when those things would be done away. But during that time, which is the New Testament age, he said, "I'm going to give you pastors, these shepherds that are going to feed you with knowledge and understanding." That's a prophecy of elders in God's church and the work that they were going to be doing to feed his flock. That song that was read led a while ago, song number 85, it's based in Ezekiel 34. And in that chapter, the Lord was rebuking the leaders that Israel had during this time and what they had done wrong. And he rebukes their shepherds for the evil they had done towards God's sheep. It starts in verse 1 saying, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search to seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Now this is sad that they had those kinds of shepherds in that time, and you can see the result that it had when they were not doing their job. Sadly too, today, we can look at spiritual Israel, God's church, and we look at the brotherhood as a whole, and we see what's happened over the years. We can see situations that are pretty well described by those verses right there in Ezekiel 34. And we see in a lot of cases, the Lord's sheep are wandering now and scattered and are being devoured. And what's the reason? The same problem exists today that existed back then concerning the shepherds. What's really sad is the Lord prophesied, I'm going to give you these shepherds that are going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. And here he was against the shepherds then that weren't doing their job. What does he think of the elders today that are not doing their job in feeding the flock, that they're not feeding them properly, that they are scattering the sheep? There's going to be heavy woe on those elders that have not done their job. And that there's a lot of them, unfortunately. And that's just the fact of the matter. But we need to appreciate what the job of elders, what their job is, and in this responsibility they have to feed the flock of God, so that if we are seeking for that office ourselves at some point, we'll understand what we're getting involved in, what our job is, and how serious it is, and as a congregation, that we'll also understand what this is about and what it's for. Well, if we look at Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 4, we see he speaks in very similar terms as he did there in Ezekiel 34, Jeremiah 23. But let's look at 1 through 4. He talks about those shepherds that they had, and Jeremiah lived at the same time as Ezekiel. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem, Ezekiel was over in Babylon with the captives, but they lived at the same time. And he's going to lead in then to a New Testament prophecy again regarding the elders in the church here in Jeremiah 23. Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Not lacking. Does that sound like complete? So he was not only prophesying about the New Testament time and the elders in the church, but also going into the particulars of what their job was going to be and what they were going to do with the sheep, which goes right along with what we see in Ephesians that we've already read tonight. Look at the consistency there, from the prophecies to the fulfillment and the descriptions we have in the New Testament. It's a beautiful thing when we see how God's Word fits together, Old and New Testament. But that's certainly true here when we're studying about the eldership. But their job is to feed the flock. Let's turn to the New Testament now. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore. Now this is when Paul the Apostle is speaking directly to the elders of the church of Ephesus. He says that in verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So here's what Paul was speaking to these elders, the ones who held that office in Ephesus. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Their job was to feed the flock. And so he tells them, you need to take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Now, we can see that same principle that he teaches us as Christians, all of us as individuals. We have responsibilities towards each other. We've already seen that tonight. But how well are we going to do in helping somebody else if we're not looking at ourselves first and making sure that we're doing right? That's where it's got to start. So we've got to look at ourselves and make sure that we are walking the right road. And he tells these men here, you take heed to yourselves. But they also had to take heed to all the flock. And it is difficult, isn't it? It's hard enough to make sure that we're doing right. But when you've got responsibility, not just for yourself, but for all of these people, all of that flock, that's a heavy responsibility. And he's telling them, you need to feed that flock. You're their overseers, made by the Holy Spirit. That's an office that's not of man. It's of God. We saw it prophesied there in Jeremiah. We see he refers to it here in the New Testament as being ordained by God and by the Holy Spirit himself. He had made them overseers of the church, and they were to feed it. This church which Christ had purchased with his own blood. That language is showing us how serious and important the job is. This is not some light thing. Here's the church that Jesus died for, shed his blood to purchase. And now here you are, you have been chosen by the Holy Spirit to oversee those ones that Jesus purchased with his own blood. You better feed them right. And he goes on to warn them about the false teachers that are there. We're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes, Lord willing. But we can see that that job described there well in Acts 20 and verse 28. Let's look also, keep a mark there in Acts 20. We're going to come right back to it in just a moment, Lord willing. But 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 and 2. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So again, he says, you elders. And Peter, the apostle, was also, he also served as an elder in God's church. But he says, like I'm having to do, you also feed the flock. Exactly what we saw there in Acts 20, also what we saw in those prophecies. They're to feed the flock, to build them up with God's word. And that's the food. Well, we see that in 1 Peter chapter 2 was something that we read this morning in our study also in a different context. But here again, we see 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." So here is the word of God that is the proper food, and there's milk for the babies. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us there is meat, strong meat, for those that are grown up. And that's the proper food as we grow. We're supposed to, we have to start with the milk, but we got to grow to the meat. And he says in, of course, he was rebuking these ones in Hebrews 5, when they should have not been babies anymore. They were dull of hearing, he says in verse 11. He says in verse 12, they ought to be teachers, but they were in need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. And he says, "Or become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age," even, and that word is teleos, and that's that word complete again, just like we saw in Ephesians 4. "Even those who by reason of the use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So here he tells us what that goal is and how it's the word of God that is that proper food from milk to meat. That whole range. It's all here in the New Testament. Everything that any one of us needs at any given point along the way as we're running our race and growing in Christ. We've got the proper food right here in God's word. Elders need to take that food. They need to have an understanding of each of the members to know what each of the members will need and provide that food to help each one grow. That's going to take a lot of wisdom too, because they're different. There are people all along the road there at different stages of the race. There's going to be younger ones, those that are new in the faith. There's going to be older ones and those that have been in the body for a long, long time. They all need feeding. They all need edifying. They all need that provocation to love and to good works. And elders have to do, they have to work and do all of that. The Lord using them to do it, of course. Well, that's what we see as the proper food. And if they're hearing that word and keeping that word, again, we looked at that this morning, 1 John 2:5. If we keep his word, he says, "In him verily is the love of God perfected." That the love of God is going to be completed in those who keep the word. So if that's what's used for the food, then that's what the result will be. How many problems occur in the church because the wrong food is being given? When people are not being fed the word of God, they're being fed something else or nothing at all. And the proper growth spiritually is not going to occur then. And especially if something that contradicts God's word, that's then going to be poison. And that's going to have the effect that we were seeing there in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. those evil shepherds that Israel had back then that caused the flock to be scattered. And that again gives us another part of the job. When the elders are to edify the flock and feed them, what goes along with being a shepherd? As you are overseeing a flock and feeding them and helping them to grow and get to be fatter sheep with nice wool, what do you also have to do? Remember what David described was went along with his job? He was a shepherd, the real thing. I mean, he was a shepherd in the physical sense of the word. But what did you remember what David told King Saul in 1 Samuel 17 when he was ready to go out and fight Goliath? And Saul was thinking, you can't do that. You're too young. You're too little. And David's faith was in God. And what did he tell King Saul about? What had happened in his work as a shepherd? A lion came on one occasion. A bear came on another occasion. And what did David do? He killed the lion. He killed the bear. God delivered David from them. And David protected his sheep where he was willing to go fight off a bear and a lion to do it. Well, do we have a spiritual comparison to that? Are elders in the church going to have to be fending off the wolves? That's going to be a big part of their job, too. They're going to have to protect the sheep from harm. Not only feed them and build them up, but protect them. Acts 20. I told you to keep your mark there, so it's time to go back. We looked at verse 28, but let's look at 29 through 31. It continues right on from what we saw in 28 where he told them to feed the flock. Verses 29 to 31, he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Among you. Now, who is he speaking to directly? The elders in the church. Was he warning them? There are going to be some elders, some wearing the title of elder, who aren't going to be doing right. Were there going to be some evil elders? He says there are going to be some of these wolves that are going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He says, "And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things." Were there going to be some false teachers that were wearing the title of elder in God's church that were going to be leading the sheep astray? He says it's going to happen. He says to draw away disciples after them. "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So he told them, there are going to be false teachers. And some of them are going to come right there within the eldership. But he says, you watch. You be on the lookout. It was their job to protect the sheep from those wolves. So as they were told to watch, we see that's a commandment to elders in God's church for all time. Hebrews 13, 17. We're almost done here. Hebrews 13, verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." That's obviously talking to the congregations concerning the elders that possess the authority. "For they," speaking of the elders, "watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." They watch for your souls. That's the job of the elders. They have to watch for the souls of those sheep. And that requires them to protect them from the wolves. And it says, as they that must give account, going along with all that we've studied tonight. Elders are going to be standing before God or kneeling before the Lord on His throne on Judgment Day. And they'll have to give account of themselves for how they lived on this earth and also for how they conducted themselves in the job they had as elders in the church and watching for the souls of the congregation. They're going to have to answer for that precious responsibility that God gave to them. That's a big thing. They need to think about that. And that's what he's mentioning there. And encouraging the congregation how they could help the elders, encourage them to do their job well. But elders are going to have to answer for that. Now, on the good side, if you look at 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, they're going to receive a big reward from God if they do their job well. If they do it right and well, the reward will be great. If they don't, the punishment is going to be great. So there's a big incentive for elders to be on the right path and make sure they're doing their job right to the best of their ability. But that's going to require them to watch over the souls and protect them. And we'll look at Titus chapter 1 here. where he's giving the qualifications of the elders. Part of that we see starting in verse 9 of Titus 1, that they're part of their qualifications are holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And then he goes on to say how they must rebuke sharply these ones. But do we see that part of their job is to be able to take the word of God, not only to feed the flock, but take that same word of God and be able to refute the gainsayers, the ones who would be subverting the souls of the flock. Now that's going to require a thorough knowledge of God's word and understanding of it to be able to do that, to give the proper food and also to be able to answer and stop the mouths of those wolves so that they don't subvert whole houses and leaven the whole church with their evil leaven. So a big part of the job of the elders is going to be to protect them from the wolves. There are going to be wolves among us. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3 says, as there were false prophets among the people, he says, so there also will be false teachers among you. Talking about the churches of Christ. We're going to have false teachers that are going to arise among us, and we're going to have to deal with it. Elders, particularly, are going to have that responsibility. That warning is given. We have an example in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, and they were doing a good job in that. There was something they weren't doing a good job with that he rebuked them for, but one thing they were doing right in Revelation 2 verse 2, he says, I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them with which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And he also says in verse 6 that they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which Christ says, I also hate. So were they doing a good job in standing up and opposing error, false doctrine? And that's something we have to understand. It's not good enough or sufficient for us merely to teach Scripture. That's certainly part of what we've got to do, all of us. We have to teach God's Word, but we have to teach all of it. We also have to oppose error. So we have to teach the truth. We have to oppose error. That's a part of our job as Christians. And particularly elders have to do that. I mean, no one likes to have to be in that position. We'd like for everybody to always teach and follow the truth, but that we know that doesn't happen. We have to teach the truth, but we also have to oppose the error and stand up against it. In Revelation 2, verse 20, the church at Thyatira was not doing that. The Lord said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest. That allow. He says, you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. They were allowing evil to take place in the church. Now, did they have elders in Thyatira? He doesn't say that specifically. But these are the kinds of things that elders will be rebuked for. If they're allowing error to be taught, evil to be practiced in the church, and they're not standing up and opposing that and protecting the sheep. So we can see several facets of their job and their responsibilities here in these scriptures that we've studied tonight, to edify the flock and feed them with God's word and to protect them from evil. So we need to have a good understanding of that if we're striving for that one day, that we would hope to be qualified and have be able to hold that office ourselves, but also we all need to understand what the role is of elders in the church and their responsibilities. So hopefully that will help us to understand that a bit more, have that more clearly in our minds. Lord willing, as we said, next time we study on this subject, we're going to start to look at the particular qualifications that God has for elders in His church. Tonight is an opportunity for anyone that is here that has not yet become a Christian by repenting and being baptized into Christ to do so. And the Lord is inviting you and encouraging you to obey His gospel tonight. If you believe in Christ, which you should, He is God's Son. But if you believe that and you're ready to confess your faith in Christ as God's Son before men tonight, having repented, now ready to live for Christ, then we're encouraging you to come forward and do those things so you can then be baptized into Christ, to have your sins washed away, to put on Christ and be added to His church. If you're a member of the body but you've wandered from Him, if you need to repent and come back to Him tonight and make things right with God, you also have that opportunity. So we're encouraging anyone who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight to do so right now while we stand and sing.